Welcome to the Forging Honor podcast. I'm Jonathan George.
And I'm Benjamin Jones. Here at Forging Honor, we explore what it means to live as Christian men. Along the way, we'll be doing challenges, building habits and character through action.
Well, welcome back to Forging Honor. It is time for the beginning of every episode, our challenge check-in. As a reminder, challenges last for 6 weeks. That's a total of 42 days. They are simple daily tasks to grow us as Christian men. The current challenge is to spend 10 minutes every day in a form of rest, and we are utilizing prayer time to achieve that. That means going out or staying in your house, doesn't matter. But taking time every day to rest in the Lord and His care for you, to focus your prayers on that. Banjo, how's it going?
It's going all right. It's just funny. I was just thinking, it reminds me of our prayer challenge, our fasting challenge, that was another challenge where we were, a while ago where we were saying, all right, we're going to try this spiritual habit. And what does the Bible say about fasting? Well, Jesus says pretty explicitly, like, hey, when you fast, don't talk about it. Kind of says the same thing about prayer. It's like when you pray, go shut yourself in a room. And well, JJ and I have shut ourselves in a room, but unfortunately the room had microphones in it. So we're going to be talking about what we were doing. My first week was so-so. I think I did, kind of depending on how much time matters. I did 3 or 4 days, was just kind of surprised at how, if I can say it this way, how unnatural prayer felt, or at least to take that much kind of dedicated time, to do it, felt very, weird. And it felt very difficult. We can talk about this more. It felt difficult to say, all right, I'm going to take 10 minutes where I'm just going to sit in a chair and talk to God, or go for a walk and talk to God. Or even just kind of like, I'm going to, put my thoughts in this one direction while I'm driving and have that be time dedicated to God. It was uncomfortable. It was almost unpleasant, felt weird. But I am optimistic that this is a challenge. It's supposed to be difficult. So hoping for some good growth over the next couple of weeks. How about for you, JJ? How was this first round?
Equally disappointing in terms of the amount of time spent, 3 days. And for me, I think the big thing was the feeling of, oh, I have to set aside this time. I'm a bit of a perfectionist. So it was, not only am I going to set aside my 10 minutes, I'm also going to do all this extra Bible reading and do all these things. And that was a mistake. Because I kind of set myself up for failure in that, whereas it should have been, oh, I have 10 minutes right now. Let me pray. There was an excellent talk at my church recently on the subject of politics. And by the time this episode releases, the election will be over. That will be passed. But the message of this particular talk will remain the same. And a big piece of that message was, we as Christians need to pray. And at the end of the day, everything starts with prayer. There was a great point made by one of our pastors that nothing can be accomplished. No great spiritual things can be done unless there's a base of prayer. You can try many things. You can go out, be an activist, all these things, do everything that you think you should do, but it will never succeed unless prayer is the foundation. And that was really convicting for me. Because I frankly do not pray enough. When we're on the subject of rest in particular, I don't rest and trust in the Lord enough. I think I put my trust, what I've realized in the small amount of time that I did pray this week was, oh, I put my trust in myself. I put my trust in my own abilities. I put my trust in everything except God. I rest on my own capabilities in my ability to communicate with people or in my ability to make money for my family, when I should be resting wholly on the Lord and what He provides. And that's convicting. Because whether it's politics or whether it's simply providing for your family or getting through your day-to-day life, all of that has made much, much better through prayer. And the days where I did pray, it was like, oh, you know, the Lord has this. He has enabled me to do these things. Oh, okay. This is possible. We can set out and do something. So I really found encouragement from the prayer. I should be doing that more is the lesson I learned this week.
Maybe we can just jump into it. There is like, have you ever had a dedicated season of prayer before? Do you feel like, you know, in terms of like the spiritual practices, where has kind of prayer fallen in your list of like, okay, I'm going to make this a priority today?
Yes, I have had periods of my life where I'm much more dedicated to prayer. I read a really great book. Well, listened to as an audiobook on prayer, and I'm forgetting the author right now. Paul something. He spoke at Covenant at one point.
Was it The Praying Life?
Yes, The Praying Life.
That's a really good book.
Really good book.
Really enjoyed
and
that.
That was really convicting for me. And I think that was about junior year that he came through, because I remember it was like spring of junior year. I had a couple of months where I was really dedicated to praying every day. And I look back, you know, that was right, you know, junior year for me was COVID came in that spring.
Right. Yeah.
And having prayer through the beginnings of COVID, I think was one of the best things for me. I don't think I would have done nearly as well in some of the forced isolation that happened, except for prayer. And you know, that looked different at that time than this challenge. You know, that was really an encouragement to pray for other people is a big part of that book. So like I had the little prayer cards he talks about, and you know, I was praying for other people, praying scripture for those people. There was a time there too. I did one of Kelly Capick's classes that year, and you know, he encouraged folks at one point, if somebody has a prayer request and they come to you and they say, hey, I need you to pray for this, pray for them right there with them out loud. And I did that several times, and that was very powerful. So going into that season of COVID, going into that season of isolation from most of my friends, being able to rest in the Lord through that, I think really set me up for some success in that time period in a way it would not have, I would not have had otherwise.
Yeah. Why do you think that is so, I mean, speaking for both of us here, why do you think that rest is so, that kind of rest or that kind of time, and that we're going to set aside the time here. You and I both struggled with it over this last week. Why do you think that's so difficult? What is it about prayer? You know, we would both be like, oh yeah, that's an essential part of the Christian life. Why is it so hard for us to set aside, you know, 5-10 minutes to do something that is so essential?
I think it's a couple of things. I'll speak for myself. I would say I'm a fairly driven person. I'm very influenced by kind of the American culture of get after it, go do things, right? You know, the rise and grind thing, kind of subscribe to that a little bit. I think that culture, that American success culture does not make much room for rest, right? You'll hear lots of influencers saying, if you're going to succeed at anything, got to work, you know, 60 hours a week, or, you know, even more, 7 days a week, all these crazy things. There's not room for rest in that. And if you subscribe to that idea, like I have, in a lot of ways, what happens is you forget to cast your cares on God rather than on yourself. So that's just that's for me in a lot of ways. I don't know how would you say that for you?
Well, I was gonna add to that in that culture, which I also kind of, you know, I fall into some from time to time. That culture also, you're not really allowed to have cares in that culture, or maybe a better way to say it is you have to have the right cares, and they have to be constant, and you can't lay them on anybody else. You know, that's probably the better way to say it is, I have to be worrying about this thing, and I have to be holding on to this thing, and I have to be making sure that I've got the team on my back, right? You're the focal point, you become the focal point of whatever that group is.
Yes.
And it's so much pressure, but it's so much fun. You know, it's so much fun to be that person through whom everything is running, to be that person who's holding everything together. Speaking for myself, I can get addicted to that. Like, oh yeah, I am a really important person because I am just stressed out of my mind. And I know that I am important and I have value, because of how stressed I am, because of how valuable I am.
Right.
Which is just such a temptation, and it's so dangerous because once you do that, just from a productivity standpoint, I mean, alone, you are incentivized by your own, you know, pathology, for the lack of, I don't know if that's the right word, but by your own pathology to like destroy the systems around you so that you're always in a state of stress. Like you don't want anything to get fixed because you always want to feel important. And so simultaneously, like you're creating your own destruction by being like, I must be important by having broken things around me. And then you break the things around you so that you still feel important, you know? And I think I've done that in my own life. I've seen other people do that, and it's just a real trap. And I think that like real and genuine prayer. And I think this is, again, one of those reasons why it's so important to come back to, like, prayer is not something that we do in front of other people. Is like, if we're truly coming before God and saying like, I am powerless. I have no authority here. I have no ability in and of myself, Lord, like if this is going to happen, you're going to have to do it through me, you know, or if I'm going to be involved at all, like I don't necessarily need to be involved. I think that's such a huge mindset shift. Like I think it is, and this is going to like, I don't know how quite to say this, but like I think this is something that the modern church is not really good at. Like I think we fall into these places where it's like if you're going to be a Christian. There's a way that that's going to look. And I think we do that in like really kind of, almost like subconscious ways. Like, and it's kind of funny because it's like, you know, you and I are doing this podcast again where it's like, okay, well let's be consistent and let's be, God honoring in our time. And let's use this podcast as a way of like having that conversation and doing it together and bringing other people into that. Right. And I think that's good. And I think that's like worth doing. But there's like a flip side to that coin where you can end up being like, okay, well, I need to be, you know, on this checklist and I need to be doing this thing and I got to be doing my challenge. And that could be in any number of areas. Like it could be, you know, a real Christian man is like out in the woods, or like a real Christian is good with their finances and a real Christian is bringing in enough money. And like all of those are good things. And necessary, like, you know, hopefully, Lord willing, if you have those resources, like you're using those well, and everything. But at the same time, like none of those are requirements for being a Christian. And I think prayer is kind of the thing that should take us out at the knees a little bit, because we shouldn't walk. I mean, you know, we shouldn't walk into a situation and go, okay, well, if I can check A, B, and C, then I'll do the right thing. Or if I'll check A, B, and C, then I'll go through with this. We should say, if the Lord wills, then this will happen.
Yes.
Because that exists independent of my ability to contribute. Now, I mean, I want to say that, and I want to stand on that, but I also want to say, like, human beings are still responsible. Like, God still uses means to his ends, and there's all that. But there's a very real sense where, like, reality is very different than we pretend it is, and prayer is the thing that shows us that. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yes, we had a excellent sermon recently at my church. We've been going through Acts, so we're in the early stages of Acts, talking about the early church, and you know the early church after two sermons. This point was made by our pastor after two sermons, Pentecost, and then one right after that, went from about 120 people to you know, it says 5,000 men, which if you look at the demographics of my church anyway, that means like 18,000 people because it's men, women, and children.
Right, right.
And
it's a lot of folks.
You know, and that's the demographics of my church, not the demographics of like a Jewish family in the first century. So probably more than that, right? So a lot of people. And what's remarkable is scripture says, you know, no one was lacking anything. Everyone had what they needed. And that's not because folks came in who weren't poor, who didn't have anything. It's because those among them who had resources were sharing them, right? It wasn't a communist thing. It was out of an overflow of love and abundance. They were giving to the church. But, you know, there's one thing that is noted in scripture there is that they were meeting together regularly to pray. They weren't meeting together regularly to discuss the nuances of theology, to decide, all right, what's our plan to make Jerusalem into a Christian city, right?
What's they weren't discussing statement? Those things,
right? Yeah. They didn't have that. They were meeting together to pray. They were, and in that, through prayer, wonderful things were happening. You know, there's a moment after Peter and some of the other apostles are released by the Jewish authorities after they've healed the lame man, and the Jewish authorities say, hey, you should stop talking about Jesus. And then they're like, awesome, we're going to keep talking about Jesus. They go back. What's the first thing they do when they get to the other apostles? They pray. And the Lord answers them immediately. Like he literally shakes the building they're in. And there's kind of a second flowing of the Spirit in some ways, not truly, but in a sense, there's an indication that the mission they're on of spreading the good news is going to succeed. And that's through prayer yeah. that happens. So it's really, I mean, it's fortuitous that I've been getting these lectures and sermons right as we're entering this season of exploring resting in the Lord.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, I really think, you know, when we first talked about this challenge, one thing, you know, we talked about rest and, you know, I looked at it like, oh, you know, we'll talk about taking a break from work. We'll talk about maybe getting better sleep. But then when we settled on prayer, I was a little bit, I don't know, we'll see where this goes. But I'm more and more convinced that true rest really is prayer. That's what true rest is.
Yeah, I mean, least as far as it's like total dependence on God.
Yes.
And even when it comes to like sleeping rest, it's interesting that that's kind of like where a lot of us like learn to pray first. Like, maybe this is just, I don't know what to make of this. I'm just thinking of this off the top of my head. So this could be totally bananas, but like, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep, right? That's like, it's kind of a lot of people's first prayer, even in like a standard in the Presbyterian household, you know, that isn't into the whole, you know, like uniform prayer thing. Like that's just kind of a custom, a tradition. And if you think about it, it kind of makes sense because what's happening when you fall asleep? Well, you're entering into this most vulnerable of states, you know, like you don't have any protection if you're falling asleep. And so that's the moment where you need God to just be with you for 8 hours, 10 hours, hopefully, folks, be getting your sleep. It's really important. And so it's like, you know, maybe it makes sense if we're going to talk about getting that rest and beginning to take that that burden off of ourselves. Maybe it makes sense to start with prayer in that sense.
It's so true. And you know, it's funny. You know, I go to sleep every night and there's the safe with the 9 sitting in it. And you know, it's like, oh, if somebody breaks into my house, I'm going to rely on that. It's going to be ready to go. But every time I think about that, it's like, well, will I really be able to handle that situation? Will I really be able to wake up in time? Is there like, you know, I'm a decently deep sleeper. I sleep right through my baby crying in the night. And so like, that's one of my worries. That's one of my concerns. But you know, I've had so many wonderful reminders, especially recently, like at the end of the day, what the Lord has in store for you is what the Lord has in store for you. Rest on Him, rest on His provision. And what the Lord wills is what will happen. Now, that's not to say I think the flip side of that is that not to say, well, the Lord willed it. I'm going to abdicate all my responsibilities. I'm not going to put preventative measures in place. I'm not going to lock my doors at night. I'm not going to make sure that my house is set, that my family is vulnerable. We do all those things, but ultimately all of those safeguards can fail. They do fail. You know, we hear stories about it in the news every day. And ultimately, this life is such that, it's not the ultimate. Like this, we're moving on to something better, and we have to rely on the Lord on that. I don't really know where I'm going with that.
Well, recently in my school, we were talking about this parable comes up a lot. But the woman at the well, you know, and we were reading this passage in John, and I was thinking about it. I can't remember if I heard this interpretation somewhere and I was just meditating on it, or if this was something I was thinking of. Odds are I probably heard it somewhere else. If I have a good thought, it's usually not original to me. But this one, I was thinking about, you know, we're asking the kids, like, what is this passage about? And they're kind of giving the standard answer of, like, you know, this is, it's Jesus going out to meet the stranger. And this is a call for us to go out and meet people where they are. And, you know, God is willing to welcome in all kinds of folks into his kingdom, you know, all this stuff. And I was like, well, all this is true. You know, I don't want to say it's not true, but I kept coming back to, I don't think this is the main point of this passage. The main point of the passage, it seems to me, is, you know, this ultimate reality shift that Jesus is presenting to not only to the woman, but, you know, to his disciples, really, mm-hmm. when they come up and they say, you know, Jesus, we brought you food. And he's like, I don't need food. And they're like, did somebody bring him something to eat? And he's like, this is my work. This is my food. And the change in our reality is so intense when we become Christians, or when we understand who Christ is, when we understand what it means to have the water of life, like, not to say that we don't still have bodily needs, but we come to recognize, or we should come to recognize, I think it's like next to impossible to do without the power of the Holy Spirit. But like, we cannot, or put it a better way, like, there are things in life that are more important than food. There are things in life that are more important than water. And I think prayer has got to be one of those things. This is something where I'm not as on. I don't feel like I'm on quite a solid ground in terms of like, well, this is the most important thing that we got to do. But there's such a reality shift for us that Jesus, I think, is trying to show us there, where it's like, no, I know, like, I get that the food thing is important, but this is more important. There are greater needs than this. And as we've been going through this challenge, prayer has seemed to me this thing where it's like, you know, it's so easy for me to treat prayer like a garnish, but it should be, to mix metaphors, like the entire, you know, it should be the load-bearing walls of my life. It shouldn't be this thing that I sprinkle on top. It should be this thing that is like in the bones of how I live. But it's so counter to the reality that I want to live in that that's very hard to do.
Yes. Thinking about it as a foundation rather than a garnish. I really love what you're saying there. I think because you're exactly right, especially for young men who, you know, the glory of young men is their strength. And so it's so easy to trust in ourselves rather than in the Lord. Which ultimately, I think that's going to be kind of the message of this entire series on rest, will be stop relying on yourself. Stop it. just don't do it anymore. As we learn to trust in the Lord, I'll be curious to see, you know, what does that change for our day-to-day lives? What does that change for how we think, how we approach a problem, maybe at work, or a problem, you know, maybe we're having a tough time working through a relationship, or where, you know, there was a tough conversation with our spouse. How will it change those conversations, how we approach those things, if we're resting in the Lord? I'll be curious to see if that 10 minutes of prayer overflows into more prayer with other people, if it overflows into helping build other people's foundations. And I look forward to that.
One thing I think we should toss in there as well, because I think you're right. Just as you're talking about, like, does this conversation flow, you know, does prayer flow into conversations with other people, prayer with other people? I also think, like, we have to think about what prayer is. It's us talking to God. And, you know, in a very real way, we need to be aware that, like, there's a level to which God is speaking back to us through his word. And so prayer should be, and maybe we should spend some time on this, like, our prayer life should be some sort of a conversation with God to some extent. Like, I don't want to prescribe that for folks, but, like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, I think, at this point at, you know, 7:49 PM on a Tuesday evening, like, to have a one-way conversation. Like, we need, if we're going to be rooted in prayer, like, we do want to say that's foundational, but that should be accompanied by the reading of scripture. Because if we're going to talk to somebody, we got to know who they are.
Absolutely. Right? Well, and I think I would again recommend a praying life for some insights on that.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned the talking to God, talking with God, kind of being unwilling to prescribe that. I would prescribe it for people insofar as I would prescribe the notion that prayer is more than just, I'm in a crisis, I need this thing right now, please give it to me, God.
For sure.
But if it's a foundation when you're not in crisis, be dwelling with the Lord. And if you think about it, prayer is the one thing that we can always do, right?
Yeah.
There might not be a Bible in front of us. Maybe we're new Christians. We don't have anything memorized yet. We don't necessarily know our scriptures. You can always pray. There is never a time where you cannot pray.
Yeah, that's true. It's
one of the biggest things in scripture. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, clearly commanded. When I said the prescribing thing, I was more talking about like how does that like hearing from God element, what does that look like? Oh, yes,
that makes sense.
Because that might be a little bit more, I don't want to say subjective, but that might be a little bit more, you know, some person might get a lot more out of the Psalms than, like, I don't know, Lamentations, but some people might need, really need Lamentations, that kind of a thing.
Well, and you know, there's definitely different viewpoints on hearing from God. You know, if you're a little more Pentecostal or charismatic, you're going to get, you're going to say, I heard the voice of God, tell me this. And I'm not sure where I am on that. I definitely think as you pray, as you meditate on scripture, as you dwell on these things, there is a sense in which God speaks to you. I don't know what that looks like exactly. You know, I haven't heard a voice that I'm like, oh, that's God talking to me.
Right.
But so, I see what you're saying there. But I do think prayer as a form of dwelling in the Lord is clearly prescribed in scripture, and everyone must do it. And it's something that I know I don't do every day. It's one of the reasons we're doing this challenge, because ultimately these challenges are more for you and I than they are for our listeners in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
So as we explore that and delve into it, I think what we'll learn and what we'll realize will be, oh, we should be doing, you know, you hear these stories of, like, Martin Luther praying through the night, praying multiple hours a day.
Right.
It's like, oh, the stalwarts of the faith, what they did more than anything else was pray. You know, I've had folks ask me, so do you spend more time praying or do you spend more time on social media? Mm. That's convicting. Do you spend more time praying? Do you spend more time worrying about the outcome of the next election or the outcome of something at work or the outcome of you know, whatever it is in the economy? Do you worry more about that or are you praying?
I mean, that's a pretty brutal life check, but 100%. Like, if you think of it for myself, like, I started this other, this kind of challenge for myself that I was picking up from somebody else about, it's a writing thing. Doing three pages of free writing in the morning. And so I've been doing that. And I always feel a little bit, I don't know about guilty. But it's like, okay, well, the assignment is you have to do the morning pages in the morning. And so I've been like, okay, well, that will be my writing time. I'll do this free writing thing then, cause that's when this is supposed to be. There isn't a time assignment for our prayer. So I'll do that in the afternoon. But it's been a little, it's always a little, there's a bug in my ear that's like, okay, so is the writing more important than your prayer life? Like, you could be doing it then, but you're choosing to write. And I'm not really sure where to land on that, because we haven't prescribed a time. And I don't think that there's a reason for me to feel guilty about doing this writing thing in the morning, especially because I've prayed in the afternoon and it's been restful. It's been good. I have a story about that, but I'll save that for a little later.
Well, I think maybe if that's something that is being laid on your conscience, it might be worth trying praying before you do your writing. Will that change your writing? Like, I mean, if the writing is something that you must do in the morning, I mean, is there something in that particular challenge that says it has to be the first thing you do?
Yeah, it does actually. I mean, one of the things about it is like make it the first thing you do, not as like a level of importance thing, but as like you're still coming out of sleep is the idea. And so your inhibitions are a little bit down, if I can use that word. Maybe a better word would be like your kind of inner critic hasn't woken up yet. And so by getting going like first thing out of bed, you're bypassing that inner critic a little bit. And it's been helpful, but I've actually cheated a little bit on this issue because a lot of my morning writing has actually become prayer time. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking about the contents of the challenge. I think this is okay. According to the rules of the challenge, I'm not technically supposed to, share my writings, but I'm not going to talk about what I've actually written. So I think I'm in the clear. I think we're good here. But some of what I write in there is like, I'll just spend the time in prayer and just spend that early bit writing. And the nice thing about that, it's like, well, there's no inner critic, there's no filter. So it's just exactly what's on my mind is kind of what God is getting. And I'm looking forward, I think, to kind of looking back when I reach the end of this writing challenge and praying challenge and being like, oh, cool. Like God was already working to answer that prayer in this thing. And to have a record of that is something I'm excited about.
Yes, I think writing down prayers actually would be, I should do that more. And that's something I've been encouraged to do by several mentors is write down your prayers, see how the Lord answers them. Actually, for a long time now, my wife and I at breakfast, as part of our little morning breakfast routine, we'll write down whatever prayer requests we have that day. And just as a practical note for people, this is something I was instructed to do by an elder in my church was, if you're keeping a record of your prayers, have a particular notebook for that. Write down your prayers on the left page and leave the right page blank. And then when that prayer is answered, fill it in on the right side next to where your prayer request was. So you'll end up with, over a period of time, you'll have your prayer requests on the left and you'll have how the Lord answered them on the right. And that has been a beautiful thing to see how the Lord is answering our prayers. Whether he's answering with, yes, I'm giving you this, or, you know, sometimes it's been a no, or it's been like, he is answering the prayer. He's giving us, there are clear answers to every prayer though. And that's been a remarkable thing, seeing how the Lord is working through that. So I would encourage folks, not as part of this challenge necessarily, because your day-to-day prayer requests might be, you might not be focusing on the resting of the Lord. It might just be a simple prayer of, Lord, help me succeed in this thing at work. But that can be very helpful, I think.
Well, I was going to say that. I mean, first of all, that I love that idea of the prayer journal and having the left side, the right side. I think that's really, really beautiful. But I think also one of the things that I appreciate about this prayer is like we're setting aside time specifically to have like, okay, this is my 10 minutes of rest and prayer. Like that's, but one of the things that the Bible says is like, pray at all times without ceasing.
Yes.
Which is kind of wild. Like that you should always be in that state. Technically I should be praying right now as I'm potting and I don't know how to do that. I think I can multitask, but that's like a new level. And yet like that's what we're called to. And I think it really is interesting to think about like, okay, there are these, we separate our life so much into like the mundane and the spiritual, or like there's real life and there's my spiritual life even as Christians, we do this all the time. I'm all the time in these conversations where it's like, well, you know, what's practical at the place where I work, what's practical and what's, you know, what's in line with our Christian theology. And I'm trying more and more to say, well, okay, if we really believe what we believe, then this theology should always be practical, like by its nature of itself. Like there is something about the theology of the Trinity that has a real day-to-day effect in my life, right? That has like a real effect in how I live. And I think prayer is just one of those outpourings where it's like, you know, if one of my students at school is like sharpening their pencil, like somehow prayer can be involved in that. You know, we have these tests. You got to pray during, obviously we pray before the tests, but we like pray before every class, which is so like, I appreciate that we do that so much. Professors at Covenant used to do this all the time. And I remember I had a class in high school that was taught by a pretty intense atheist, pretty intense, like postmodern atheist. And we had some really fun, like debates. They were like kind of intense at the time, but looking back, it was a lot of fun, about like, is there absolute truth? Like, do numbers exist? Like this kind of thing. And it was fun, but it was like really exhausting to be kind of like always in this combat state with this professor. And I remember, taking a class at Grove City College, actually, with a professor, and the professor opened the class with prayer. And I remember just the like physical feeling of relief that went through me in that moment. And just like the breath of fresh air, of cold water, of just like, oh, okay, like God is the center of what I'm doing here. He is the reason why I'm doing this. He's how I'm doing this. Like that was such a relief. And is really, I mean, if there's one thing that's affected my prayer life more than anything, I think it's probably been that, just recognizing like that the mundane moments need so much prayer too. And the just adding prayer or recognizing the need for prayer in every moment really adds a lot to the, I want to say the sanctity of every moment. No moment can be mundane if you're praying about it, I guess. I don't know if that makes sense or if I'm just waxing poetic.
No, absolutely. And well, I think that's kind of the beauty of the mundane is anything that is mundane, you know, we often think of mundane things as the chores around the house or the things that you just kind of have to get done. The beauty of that is oftentimes those things can be done simultaneously as something else. You know, oftentimes I'll put on a podcast while I'm washing the dishes, or maybe I'm driving to work and, you know, I'm listening to whatever. I could be praying during that time. The beauty of the mundane is just that, is that the mundane can be made incredibly spiritual. And if it's always preceded and followed by prayer, and then you're praying while you're doing it, that's something I would love to try this week is, if I've got a chore around the house, or, you know, I've got a window I need to repair in my house, I should be praying while I'm doing that. I can do that almost mindlessly. Why would I not pray? I would love to do that. Well, before we wrap up, I know you had an experience with your prayer that you wanted to talk about. So let's close out with that.
Oh yeah. Well, I just thought this was funny. And as soon as it happened, I was like, okay, well, that's got to go in the pod. On my first day of this challenge, I was, I got all the things that I needed for my prayer time. I got my Bible, I got my Valley of Vision, and I got a cup of coffee. Cause I thought, well, you know, I'll do the praying and I'll have a little coffee, and this will be a time of rest, and I'll leave refreshed. So I sat down in this chair that we have by an open window, and I was there and I was praying. I was like, all right, I'm going to set a timer. I set a 10-minute timer, and I read Valley of Vision for a little bit, and I drank my coffee, and then I read my Bible, and then I said, all right, I'm going to close my eyes, and I'm going to pray. I crossed my hands.
Restful, so spiritual.
So restful, so spiritual. And I'm drinking my coffee, and I kind of have it. And as I was praying, depending on how you want to read it, I was either really into it and I really kind of got into the focus mode, or I fell asleep. And either way, I was resting, super restful. And I was not stirred from my prayer, until the alarm went off. And then I woke up with a jolt, and the coffee cup was still in my hand, and it flew in the air all over the place, all over me. And it was like still hot. And I was like,
you're done. Stop resting.
Yep. He said, all right, it's time for you to get out there. And I was like, okay. So I put the coffee cup down and I just started laughing because, you know, I really got into it. I was really, really a spiritual practice. So anyway, that was my little story. Thought I should share.
maybe next time don't have the cup of coffee, but I don't see anything wrong with resting in the Lord there. Well, very good. I'm looking forward to further conversations on this. We've got a couple of guests we're excited to have on later to explore this. So stick around, dear listener, and we will see you next time.
This has been the Forging Honor podcast. Music and production is by Elliot George. For more information about what we do or to learn how to get involved, visit our website at forginghonor.com. There you'll find information about our community, The Forge, and how to join other young men seeking to glorify God in thought, word, and deed. You'll also find blog articles, book recommendations, and more ways to grow as a Christian man.
If you enjoyed the show, please tell a friend or family member about Forging Honor. We would also appreciate it if you would take a moment to like and subscribe. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, a rating and review only takes a moment, and it goes a long way towards growing the Forging Honor community.
Thanks for taking the time with us today. We hope you'll take up the work alongside us and join us in the task of Forging Honor. We'll see you next time.